Welcome to No Save For You, a podcast where I'll try to gather and organize my thoughts on tabletop RPGs. My name's Cody. Let's do this.
Hi Cody, it's Colin's Bite Pit. I meant to say in my last message, you mentioned journey mechanics, mechanisms and how they work in RPGs. And for me, the fast travel, yeah, is not so fun. I really enjoy the journey mechanics. And like yourself, I think that comes from my background in hiking and camping and stuff like that. It's a way that I bring a little bit of real life experience into the game. And it's something I don't really want to skip over. So I was interested to hear that you sort of share my opinion on that one. Anyways, keep up the good work. Catch you later.
Greetings, everyone. I thought I'd start this podcast off with a call-in I got from Colin Green of Spike Pit. I don't know if I've actually played it before. I don't think I did. I think it came in on the episode I did before my collaboration with Rich, and then on my one with Rich, I just kind of, we did the episode. I didn't address any call-ins. So if you heard it before, I apologize. If not, enjoy. I do like that call-in. It's a good message. And yeah, I love the journey. I love to travel in real life, especially when I'm on foot, if I'm hiking or boating, kayaking, you know, anything like that. I really enjoy that kind of stuff. And the same in tabletop RPGs. And I don't know if it's because of my life experiences that when I'm playing these games, I tend to put myself in the character shoes and I'm imagining what it would be like to travel, in those kind of situations. And it's enjoyable to me. And I don't even really mind if it takes up a whole session. Yeah. So thanks Colin for calling in. I appreciate it. And, I guess, we're going to move into the next segment here. So for this week's podcast highlight, I wanted to highlight the Swordbreaker podcast by Logan Howard. I find his last two episodes have been particularly enjoyable. His most previous episode was on castles, and the one before that was mass combat, two subjects which I am thoroughly interested in. And, you know, anytime anyone brings up either of those, I'm there, ready to listen, ready to soak up what they talk about. And on the last episode, Castles in particular, Logan brings up a really good point. His podcast is, I think he actually talks about it on the last episode. It's a Dungeon World podcast, though you can take anything he talks about or the mechanics or anything and just transition it to whatever system, especially OSR, very, very easily. I got all of Logan's information on the show notes where you can find his podcast, the links to his zine that he puts out, the drive-through links. So, Logan, I don't know if you have a website, man. If you're listening to this, give us a call in and shout it out, man. This one's for you. So, I've been enjoying your show. Keep up the good work, bud, and I look forward to future content from you. All right, let's move on here real quick. Oh yeah, real quick, I wanted to mention Logan on his last episode, he made an awesome theme song. It plays in the beginning, and at the end he continues it and concludes it, and it's just fantastic. So Logan, I applaud your song, sir. And I am a musician, I'm not a professional musician, more like an amateur, but so I enjoyed it, if that helps your nerves or confidence. Anyway, let's move on. So what have I been doing this since the last episode in gaming? And I think the answer is nothing. I haven't played anything that I don't think. At any rate, tomorrow I am hopefully getting to play in some Kalmata. We have, I think the session we were going to play on Sunday was rescheduled till tomorrow, I think. I'll have to double check with the guys, but yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I haven't played it or done any kind of gaming related activities in quite some time, partially because I was sick, and then after I was sick, I lost my voice, and now that it's back, I am ready to hop in and continue on. So yeah, I'll keep that short and sweet, don't need to drone on about that. The topics I wanted to do today, there's three of them. The first one is talking about dungeons, and the inspiration for this, I recently started playing the video game called Below. It's like a dungeon crawler roguelike game. It's really good. I've been waiting for it for a long time. It was supposed to be a launch title with the Xbox One. The developer delayed it, and I'm glad they did because the game they put out this past week has been fantastic. I've thoroughly enjoyed it, and I guess since I'm talking about it, we can just move right into this topic, and we'll kind of go to the next ones as they come naturally. So, I noticed a few things when I was playing Below, and it's a very gameable game. So if you have access, it's on Xbox and Steam. So if you have a gaming computer, you can get it that way, or I mean, it doesn't take that much. A low-end computer could run it, or if you have an Xbox One, you could get it that way. I know I have Game Pass, for any of the Xbox guys. It's on Game Pass, so you can get it if you subscribe to that. Otherwise, I think it's like maybe $30 US, of course. So I found out a few things while I was playing the game, and I'm not that far of. Maybe played just a few hours, like 3 or 4 hours total. But I've had a lot of fun with it. So some of the ideals and themes that the game gets across is each of the levels of the dungeon. So the way the game starts out is you're an adventurer. You don't make a character. The game starts out, there's a boat sailing in the ocean. It lands on some island. Your character is on the boat. You get off, and that's how it begins. There's no tutorial or anything. I mean, no direction. You just start out and you have to figure out the game. So it took me a little bit to figure out what the controls were and actually where to go in the game, but I figured it out eventually. I found a lantern kind of on the island wilderness, and then I found an entrance to a dungeon. And I went in, of course. I'm an adventurer. So, each of the levels I found so far have been themed. I'm on the fourth level right now. So the first, three of them have been like dark and dank and wet, but things progressively dry up as you get lower into the dungeon, which is kind of cool. And I really like the monsters I've seen so far. And keep in mind, this game is not like it's not something that's going to make you go, "Oh wow, the graphics are so good." It doesn't, fully utilize the Xbox One X's engine or anything like that. But the aesthetic is nice. Everything's like polygonal. Is that a word? It's all polygon based. There's not a whole lot of details. Like on your character, at least my character, I think you get a random one every time you play. But my guy, he's got a. It looks like a beard and a kind of a Viking helmet, a helmet with the horns. And I got a sword and a shield and a bow. But yeah, you just kind of wander around. It's a roguelike exploration game. So you wander around the dungeon, pick up supplies. You have to eat and drink and stay warm. And I guess the goal is to go all the way to the bottom. I don't know yet. I haven't made it that far, but, well, I'm kind of rambling here. So yeah, themed levels. I think that's a cool idea. And everything I say here is going to be stuff that has been said before. It's not revolutionary. It's not, new, but it is, I think, fundamental, when you're doing dungeons. And I think, at least for me, when I'm doing these kind of things, when I'm writing dungeons or I'm working on game stuff, I think it's important to come back to the fundamentals and kind of ground yourself there and then expand out. So themed levels, and then it has a focus on rooms and not the passages. So the way the game works is, I say rooms, but it's, a room could be a cavern or it could be an actual room. And yeah, the way the as you move between rooms, it just kind of the screen fades to black. So there's that you don't actually go in any passages at all. Some of the rooms or caverns or whatever might have like a slight passage, but it's not like you go 40 feet down a hallway and there's a door on your left or your right. It's all of that travel like that is abstracted, and you just end up in the rooms, and that leads to a cool map effect. So when you open up your map, it's line art based. So circles represent outside of the dungeon, and then there are dotted lines representing the passageways, and they're not, you know, it's a straight line. It's not curved or, you know, anything. It's very simple. And then diamonds represent the rooms, and then it only shows each level's worth of rooms on one map, and you have to flip down to the next one. It's kind of silly to try and explain. I guess you guys could Google it and look it up, but yeah, I thought that was a cool idea. I feel like a lot of the time when I'm working on dungeons, I'm, you know, trying to figure out how things connect, and, you know, in the end, I don't think it matters as much as these rooms or caverns or, you know, so I thought that was a cool idea. And yeah, so the rooms, like I said, could be small or huge. I've had some, tight rooms, that don't have a whole lot in them. And then I've come across huge caverns that are, you know, take a long time to get through, and there's, you know, traps and resources and enemies and all of that stuff. So it doesn't have to be the same every time. And then, you know, following that, it leads to making a dungeon that's very easy to map. You know, you don't have to worry about passages and all. So you could put a very large dungeon on a single piece of paper, even a 3x5 card. I've done one. I just did a mock one just to kind of help illustrate for the description what I'm talking about. And I'll put that on. I'll take a picture and slap it on the Discord for you guys. So if you're not on the Discord, which I think pretty much all of my listeners are, get on there. I'll have a link on the show notes, and then check it out for the picture. So that's all I really wanted to talk about for dungeons. I'll pause here and then come back for the next segment. The next topic I have, I was listening to Plundergrounds the other day, Ray Otis's podcast. And it was the Dungeon World 2 episode where they were talking about, I don't even think Ray was actually in that episode, it was just a recording he got from the Dungeon World guys. And yeah, they were talking a lot about, you know, emulating the fiction. And that got me thinking, because a lot of, at least from what I can tell, they didn't seem to, none of them seemed to actually play Dungeons & Dragons. I think one of the guys mentioned he played Pathfinder once, and that was enough to know that he would never play D&D, which I don't think is fair, but that's not what I want to talk about. I want to talk about, I guess, this is a question for you guys, is which system have you found that best emulates the fiction? And what I mean by that is the Appendix N, that style of fiction, whether it's, you know, high adventure or high fantasy or low fantasy, you know, anything like that that falls in that Appendix N. And I know that's a broad category and there are different styles within the Appendix N, but, you know, overall, what system, do you guys help or find that helps emulate the fiction best? I play a lot of DCC, and to me, when I play that game, I feel like it does, you know, the mechanics involved do help emulate the fiction, and it does market itself as a Appendix N inspired game. And, you know, I've had quite a few experiences in different styles of game that that I've found to be true, but that's just me. So I'd be interested to know what you guys think. So give me a call in and let me know. All right, we'll move on. Well, it's kind of a short segment, but we'll keep it short today. Move on to the next segment here. All right, so the last topic I have for this episode is what's in a hex. And what I mean by that is how many locales, adventure sites, towns, ruins, whatever, dungeons. How many of those are you going to put into a hex on a hex map? And I use the 6-mile hex, so when I'm talking about all of this, that's where I'm coming from. You know, you guys can adjust as you see fit, but that's where I'm coming from. So, I was on Reddit the other day, and I stumbled across a post talking about hexes, and then someone on the comments linked to a blog post by Monsters and Manuals called Hexology. And in the post, the author, and I don't remember the guy's name, he was on a small island, I believe off the Scottish coast. I don't remember what it's called, actually, but I'll put a link to the post. You guys can check it out. It was an interesting read. Anyway, he went to this island, and it was very small, like 1.5 miles across by maybe 2 or 3 miles. So it would fit perfectly in a 6 mile hex and take up, you know, the majority of the center of it. And on the small island, he outlined, you know, at least 15 locations, unique locations or points of interest or anything like, you know, that would be easily portable into a game. And yeah, so it just goes to show, you know, you can have a lot of adventure in a small site. And I'm not saying that you need to put 15 locations in each of your hexes. In fact, I think that's probably an unreasonable request. Something reasonable to me would be like 3 to 6. And that way, you know, if you want to have like an emergent story or emergent gameplay and you don't necessarily want to plot on a hex where each of these locations would, you could just pick up a D6 and roll it and see what comes up. And yeah, so it was interesting at the end of his post. I think he ended it with, you know, one locale or empty hexes are, what did he say? Unreasonable, or basically he didn't agree with. And I tend to think in the same way. I think, you know, why wouldn't you want to put more in a hex? I understand maybe there's like destitute places or barren places, but that doesn't mean that there's not, you know, more areas of interest that you could load in there, you know, be it like pack of animals or a den or, you know, anything like that. It's not, you know, so I think more than one is a reasonable request. 3 to 6 sounds good to me. And again, that's just my thought. But I think it would be interesting if you combine that idea with a version of the 3-hex campaign starter. And I think you would get a very solid foundation for a hex crawl campaign. And so I actually made an example hex, and I guess I'll share that with you guys. So on a 3x5 card, I just picked it up, and on the front of it, I wrote 6 mile hex, and then I drew a small hexagon on the side of the 3x5, and I just started kind of doodling on it. And so this is what I came up with. So, the locales I have on this hex, it's, the starting town, and I put that in the bottom right corner. And I guess if you're doing a West Marches style game, like a true West Marches, you would probably take off the town as a locale itself. I mean, it would still be there, and the players could interact with it on a limited basis, you know, resupply and things like that. But I think for the purposes of the hex crawl I'm going for, I think towns will be places of interest. You know, there will be NPCs, there will be adventure in town, things like that. In fact, one of the best hex crawls I ever played was run by my uncle, and he was calling it the Bravos of the Philic Isles, and it was a kind of Dark Ages style game. Anyway, there were a bunch of towns and roads and all that interconnecting stuff, which I've been really kind of missing out on West Marches games I've been playing in. So I think for purposes of what I'm doing, I will keep the towns as locales, and that gives me something easy to, you know, if I'm struggling for an idea, I can just pop a settlement down and go from there. But yeah, so on the you know, spreading out to the northwest from this town, or north and northwest, is a lake. It's not very big, but you know, it's big enough, it takes up a reasonable chunk of the hex. And I decided at the bottom of the lake is a ruin, specifically a sunken monastery. So that would have like treasure and monsters and all that good stuff. It's essentially a dungeon, and I would leave it up to the players on how to get down there. Again, drawing from real life experience, where I grew up, my grandpa lived on a lake, and my brother and I swam in there all the time, and I always wondered what's at the bottom. And I, you know, as I grew up and got access to the internet and technology, I've actually gone back and looked at how deep the lake is, and it's quite deep in some places, and I would have a hard time imagining just me as a human being able to swim down to the bottom of this thing. So I'd probably need to weigh myself down, and then when you get down there, you got to figure out how you're breathing down there. So maybe in the course of adventuring in the wilderness, your players come across something that could help them breathe underwater or stay down there longer or something. But anyway, at the bottom, I thought this sunken monastery would make a really cool dungeon. And you know, it wouldn't be I've played in 2 games, I think, where we had like ocean adventures, and then one I ran that was the ocean played a large part, and to me, it was really hard to do. And I think just because the ocean is so big. But I think with a lake, it's small enough, you can kind of focus it and treat it exactly like a dungeon. It's dark down there. They would still need light sources. They would need to manage things such as, you know, resting, especially like moving underwater is tiring, right? It requires the entire body. So, yeah, I thought that was a neat idea. So anyway, that's what that is in that section of this hex. And then moving kind of further to the north is the Smallwood. It's a small forest, and I put that it's haunted in quotes, and then that meaning that it's not actually haunted, but in reality it is haunted. So this is where the bandits of my hex hang out. They dress up as ghosts or spirits and kind of wander around and harass the town and kidnap people. It just all the usual bandit stuff. And then there are actual undead spirits that wander around as well. And those are things of legend, you know, that's what, you know, old wives' tales and, you know, what people tell their kids to make them behave. But yeah, so that's another area, and you can have a whole bunch of crap hanging out there for your players to explore. And then, so that kind of covers the north, pretty much the whole eastern half of this hex. And then, so moving west, kind of in the southwest, I have the foothills. And this is where my humanoids would live, hobgoblins and goblins. And I think an interesting NPC or kind of low-level villain for these guys would be the hobgoblin chief. And on mine, I wrote he's a lazy chief. So maybe he's not as aggressive as other hobgoblins, or maybe he's an outcast, which is why he's living so close to human civilization. Dropped my phone. Apologize. Yeah, so that I think that would be kind of cool. Maybe it's instead of a warmonger, maybe he's looking. Maybe it's you know, the players could help this guy out and gain an ally as they explore your world. Anyway, that's what I put. And then, you know, going directly west from the lake is a road, and that leads to other parts of the kingdom. So yeah, I mean that's it, right? So that's 1, 2, 3, 4 locales on. And adventure sites on a 3x5 card. And I just wrote brief descriptions on the front. And, you know, on the back, I could flip this thing over and write down stats or, you know, go into more detail, or I could take it to my computer and start typing stuff up. And I spent maybe 5 to 10 minutes on this before I came out to record this episode. So, you know, it's something that it's easy to do. It's not time consuming. It doesn't take a whole lot of effort, and you could come up with pretty cool ideas. Without feeling overwhelmed, you know, take up one hex at a time, two hexes at a time. You don't have to sit and plan out a whole campaign world at one time. It can be as simple as, you know, 10 minutes a day. I feel like I'm advertising like a workout program or something, you know, just 3 times a week, 10 minutes a day. You too could have a fantastic fantasy world of your own. Anyway, enough of that. So yeah, that's all I really had for you guys. I'm going to take a picture of this this example hex 3x5 card, and I'll put it on the Audio Dungeon Discord so you guys can take a look. That's all I really have for this episode. Sorry I've been away for so long. Like I said, I was not feeling well, under the weather, and then had some issues losing my voice. I couldn't talk for extended periods of time. But now that I'm over all of that, should be able to get back to regular podcasting. Anyway, guys, y'all take it easy. And, again, go back and, you know, give me a call in on the fiction emulation. I'm interested to hear what everyone thinks and why. So, yeah, I'll talk to you guys later. Take it easy.